Hello everyone, welcome along to the Fantasy Football Beat on Rotoviz Radio, brought to you by Draft. My name is Colin Kelly, you can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Each week I'm joined by an NFL beat reporter to break down one of the biggest games of the week, and on this week's show it is a pretty big game that I think is going to be pretty much a fantasy bonanza. If you look across the list of games this week, this one I think is at the top of the list of where you can pretty much plug in the majority of players and we'll get some points on the board, and we'll be talking a lot about it. So it's the Patriots and the Oakland Raiders, and they will be playing this one down in Mexico, and I'll be joined on the show to discuss it with Mike Snyder of the Mercury News. He covers the Oakland Raiders for the Mercury News, so I'm looking forward to having him on in just a little moment, and we'll be taking a key look at the players and the matchups that we expect to decide this game. So we're going to talk a little bit about Amari Cooper and his issues with his drops throughout the season. Is he over it? Is it a case that it will continue on throughout the season? We'll talk about Jared Cook, Marshawn Lynch, Derek Carr, basically the Patriots offense. What do we think of all those different things? And then after I talk with Matt, I'm going to take a few moments to break down what I think from a fantasy football perspective and dive a little bit deeper into those outlooks using some of the apps up on rotoviz.com. For those of you who don't know, Rotoviz is a sports data and analytics site that publishes over 1,000 articles per year and has a suite of more than 20 proprietary apps. I'll be using some of those apps just after I talk to Matt to look through some of the prospects in this game. And of course, you can go to rotoviz.com to check out the site and all the fantastic work that is up there on a daily basis. Fantastic work by the entire Rotoviz team at the moment. The season has been tremendous to read through all the content up there. So without any further ado, let's get to Matt. Let's get him onto the show, and let's talk about the Patriots and the Oakland Raiders. Delighted to be joined now on the show by Mike Snyderman of the Mercury News. We're going to be talking here now about the New England Patriots and the Oakland Raiders this week. Matt does cover the team for our cover with the Mercury News. He does cover the Oakland Raiders, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about this game. So thanks for jumping aboard the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Obviously, the Oakland Raiders coming off their bye week. Before that bye, they did face the Miami Dolphins, won that 27-24 in the end up, and they've got to 4-5. Marshawn Lynch had his best game of the season, two touchdowns for him in that one. And then we've seen Jared Cook have a big game. He led all receivers, hauling in 8 catches for 126 yards, which was a season high for him. But with that game going in, getting the win, starting to maybe get the season back on track at 4-5, what was your biggest takeaway from either that game, or if you want to dive deeper into the first half of the Raiders season?
Yeah, I think something that the Raiders should be concerned about, obviously, you know, some people had them as Super Bowl contenders before the season, and here they are at 4-5, just outside of the AFC playoff picture. They're eighth in the AFC right now. Very lucky that, you know, it's a very crowded picture in the AFC. But I think the big takeaway is their secondary. They're the first team in NFL history without an interception through week 10. And their schedule only gets harder in these last 7 games. Obviously, next they play the best quarterback of all time in Tom Brady. But in that Dolphins game, Jay Cutler went for 311 yards on 34-42 passing, 3 touchdowns. That is supposed to be one of the weaker quarterbacks in the league, and he makes the Raiders' secondary look like babies out there. So if that performance against the Dolphins, and it's not just the Dolphins, the Raiders' secondary has made a lot of quarterbacks this year look very competent when maybe they shouldn't. So I think that is my biggest takeaway from these first 9 games, is just the struggles of the Raiders' secondary and how their lack of a pass defense has led them to this 4-5 record, among other things, and the quarterbacks like Tom Brady, like Dak Prescott, like Alex Smith, who they're going to have to face here, like Carson Wentz, in these last 7 games to try and fight to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and you touched on, obviously, they're getting Tom Brady this weekend with the New England Patriots. This game, of course, being played in Mexico as well, which is going to make it a little bit more interesting. But as we look at the injury reports, I'm going to start off first with the New England Patriots. The injury report I'm going off with them is Wednesday's, as we record this on Thursday. Marcus Cannon did not practice for them. Chris Hogan still not practicing with that shoulder injury. Matthew Slater, their key special teamer and wide receiver, did not practice either. Everyone else for them has been either full or limited this week. So pretty healthy all around, with only 3 that didn't practice on the Wednesday report, so they're looking pretty fresh and healthy. But then when you look at the Oakland Raiders, it's been a pretty much the same situation, with only 2 of their guys so far not practicing yesterday, the rest all limited or full participation in practice. David Amerson did not practice yesterday, the cornerback with a foot injury, and obviously Donald Penn didn't practice. That was not injury-related. So we'll see your thoughts in just a second. Those limited this past Wednesday were Gabe Jackson, Corey James, Marshall Newhouse, and Jermaine Azuwale. So when you're looking through those guys, is there any of them that you expect to miss out this Sunday, or are you expecting them pretty much to all suit up as we get ready for this one?
Barring any setbacks, the guys who were limited, I expect them to suit up. It'll be interesting for Emerson because he missed the Miami game with that foot injury. He's been plagued with injuries, a shoulder, a concussion that he suffered in week four a couple weeks back. And he is a starting cornerback, and I know he hasn't been great this year, but any help this depleted, beleaguered secondary can get will help, especially against Tom Brady. So Emerson's an important piece to that defensive back unit. So getting him back would be important. I'm told by someone close to Donald Penn that his absence was just family related. Expect him to be back today. I guess we'll find that out in a couple minutes here. But he should be good to go. And then everyone else, maybe, but Emerson should be good to go. I know as we're recording this, practice injury report hasn't come out yet today. So we'll see about Emerson. He's obviously the most important one on that injury report, having been the only one to miss practice with an injury on Wednesday.
Yeah, and obviously this past Monday as well, Gary Connolly, one of the cornerbacks for the Raiders, was placed on injured reserve, so that's him done for the rest of the season. But I guess with that bye week to recover, it does help them a little bit to get, you know, those injury numbers down. And at this stage of the season, it's a pretty healthy looking injury report for them all around. As we enter week 11, the Patriots, they are 7-2, pretty much like we expect from the Patriots every year. They're kind of cruising at this stage. We thought at the start of the season with that loss to the Chiefs that maybe they wouldn't be quite what we thought they were going to be, but they have continued to deliver. They bet the Denver Broncos this past week in a very dominant fashion in Denver, 41-16. So that win gives them a 5-game win streak and also gives them a 12-game win streak on the road. So they're pretty much dominating in all facets as they move forward here. So as we look at it, in one of your early pieces, you kind of touched there on the defense just a moment ago, but in one of your earlier pieces this week, you talked about, despite all the signs pointing to a shootout on Sunday, Oakland's beleaguered defensive backs want to write their own narrative. So with this defense so far this season, what have you made of it? You've mentioned obviously the struggles already.
Yeah, I don't see any sign for why Oakland is going to hold the Patriots under 30 points. I mean, I think it would be a win if they did. Obviously, then Derek Carr would have to put up more than that on the other side of the ball. But I do think we're going to see an offensive shootout because the Patriots, statistically speaking, have the worst defense in the league. Raiders have one of the worst defenses in the league. And obviously, these are two of the best. I wouldn't say Derek Carr is one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year, but he's a rising star in this league, and Tom Brady's obviously the best ever. So I expect a game where both teams score in the 30s more likely than not. Nothing that the Raiders' secondary or pass defense, or really anything about their defense, has shown me this year that they're capable of limiting Tom Brady or limiting the Patriots' explosive offense in any way. Just too many options at receiver. The guy who guards the tight ends for the Raiders, Obi Melifonwu, mainly. I know he just made his debut against Miami, but coaches like him guarding tight ends, but guarding guys like Rob Gronkowski, Martellus Bennett, Dwayne Allen, that's going to be trouble for the rookie if he is given an increased role in that game. If not, the linebackers have struggled to cover tight ends, Corey James, Navarro Bowman, those guys. So I don't see any reason why the Raiders' defense would hold the Patriots relatively in check, but maybe they'll prove me wrong. Who knows?
And I'm gonna read off some stats here. Now with Tom Brady's in his 18th season in the league, obviously he's leading the league at this moment in time in completions. He's 231, leading it in attempts, 343, passing yards 2,807, and he also has the second most touchdowns with 19. So he's pretty much on just like father time, is not able to catch up with Tom Brady at this moment in time. And you mentioned Rob Gronkowski, still Brady's top target. He has 5 touchdowns on the season, 38 receptions, 583 yards, and that's with missing the game. Brandon Cooks has looked good, and the game—it's all game plan related with the Patriots. You know, some weeks it'll be Brandon Cooks, some weeks it's been Chris Hogan. Now we've seen the running backs; it's been spread around from week to week. So the last couple of weeks we've seen Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead getting the most work. But you kind of touched on it there. It's very, very hard to see this Raiders team being able to keep them below 30 points, and you know, so if they can't keep them below 30 points, what do you expect the game plan this week to be for the Raiders?
There's really no simple answer. I mean, the best they can hope for is to shut down the run game. The Raiders have been pretty good at defending against the run this year. They've only allowed one rusher over 100 yards, and that was LeSean McCoy back in week 8 at Buffalo. Something the Raiders really struggle with is defending running backs who can catch the ball. You've seen guys like Melvin Gordon, like McCoy, like a Javorius Allen from Baltimore. Some of those guys have done some damage against the Raiders this year. And James White is the Patriots' leading receiver in terms of receptions. He's a very receiving savvy running back. Obviously, Rex Burkhead caught a touchdown last weekend. I said White. Deion Lewis, too. The Patriots don't have a standout rusher on the ground per se, but they have a lot of guys who can create havoc in a couple different ways out of that backfield in the passing game. So I think the Raiders, they're not going to slow down Tom Brady. I don't think they're not going to be able to keep up with Brandon Cooks and the Rob Gronkowski. So I think the best way to limit the offense is to really key on those running backs out of the backfield and make sure they don't advance to the second level when they catch the ball, because that'll be the main thing that really moves the chains and wears down this Raiders defense, is those running backs wreaking havoc, I think.
And I guess we've talked enough about the Patriots, so if they're going to put up those 30 points, the Raiders are going to need to put up more than 30 points in this one to make it competitive if they're going to win the game. So over the last couple of weeks, Amari Cooper seems to be back to the level of receiver we kind of became accustomed to over his first 2 years in the league. He did start the season with a 5-week span in which he caught just 13 passes for 84 yards and no touchdowns. So it's been an up and down year for him, but he started to progress along. I think he has had 10 drops this season, but 7 of those were in the first 4 weeks of the year, so we haven't seen as many drops since that. So what do you think was some of the reasons that contributed to those drops issues at the start of the season, and do you think maybe now he's starting to get past that, or do you think it might still be a little bit in his head at this moment in time?
I think he's starting to get past it. We were talking to general manager Reggie McKenzie last week, and I asked him, with Amari, is it something mental? The drops, or is it a technical thing that needs to be changed, something regarding technique? And he said, you know, sometimes when you have that much skill, your mind takes a little while to catch up to your body. So that gives me the sense that it's more mental. I mean, it has to be. A young kid like that, regardless of who it is, you're a human being. And as much as athletes want to say, you know, oh, it doesn't get to our head, we don't want to think about it, it has to get to your head when you're leading the league in drops. And you just need 1-2 catches to get going. But you keep dropping it. And like you said, I believe he still leads the league in drops, but they've stopped lately. The Raiders were certainly like a game like he had against the Chiefs a couple weeks back, the 11 receptions, 210 yards, 2 touchdowns. I don't think that's going to happen again, but if they can get 5-6 balls to him up near 100 yards, maybe even in the end zone, then that would be a welcome surprise.
I mentioned at the start as well that Jared Cook led all receivers against Miami with those 8 catches, 126 yards. He's been a much bigger element of the offense as the season has progressed. It has been mentioned that they took him in particularly for certain matchups, you know, against the Chiefs or against the Broncos, to try and work with that tight end in the middle of the field. And obviously as it's progressed, he's got more and more targets as the season has gone along. Has he become the go-to guy for Derek Carr at this moment in time, or has that just been, as I mentioned, kind of game plan dependent, or do you think it's just going to be the case going forward? I talked in the off-season about the Oakland Raiders, and we talked about the possibility that it could be a 100-catch season for Jared Cook, and if we look now, he's, you know, the pace isn't just quite there, but he's starting to really pick up the pace over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I think Cook has really provided a vertical threat in the passing game, unlike the Raiders have had from the tight end position of late in the past couple seasons. I still think Michael Crabtree is the leading receiver on this team with 6 touchdowns, not just statistically speaking, but with Carr targeting him. But I think Jared Cook has been vital to the Raiders' success this year. You read off his stats against the Dolphins. When Cooper and Crabtree aren't getting rolling and aren't in a rhythm with Carr, you see how Jared Cook can get going and really help this offense.
And obviously this game's taking place, as I mentioned, in Mexico. It's the second straight season in which the Raiders will be traveling down there. They faced the Houston Texans there in 2016. Do you think that might have somewhat of an advantage to them, maybe some familiarity?
I don't think so. I don't think it matters too much that they've played there before. the players we've talked to have said the altitude, which is the big difference, probably won't make that much of a difference. I know the Patriots are practicing at high altitude in Colorado Springs this week. The Raiders' plan is to just fly in late Saturday so they don't have that much time to be exposed to it, I guess, exposed to the altitude before it really affects them. So I don't think it should play too much of a problem. Guys have said it wasn't too bad last year, but they really enjoy the environment down there. They sense the home crowd for the Raiders when they play the Texans down there, so I think they're looking forward to it. But no real advantage, no real disadvantage. So it'll be interesting to see how that fitness level keeps up.
And against Miami as well, I mentioned the two touchdowns from Marshawn Lynch, so maybe we're seeing the running game start to get a little bit of life in it again. Todd Downing took over as offensive coordinator in the offseason, and the offensive went from a top five offense to a bottom five offense. They kind of moved away from their offensive line being a strength as a power blocking unit, and it's been a little bit of a change. We've seen the struggles, and it can happen from year on year with continuity on the offensive line and so on, that it can be tough to get things just continuously going on offense. But with the offense and how they went in the last game, how has the scheme changed from last season to this season, and have you seen any changes over the last couple of weeks that might get this offense up and running like we've seen against the Dolphins for the rest of the season?
Not really. No real changes. I just think whether Derek Carr's injury has hindered him at all, he just needs to sling it downfield a little more. And I think it's a different style of running back they have this year. Marshawn Lynch hasn't gotten many yards per carry as he would have liked to. So you saw against Miami, start the running game with Marshawn, and then it opens up a little bit of the passing game. So if Lynch can get a couple first downs early on, I think that opens up everything in the offense, not just the run game. And obviously getting into the end zone doesn't hurt either. So that would be a welcome surprise, I think, for the Patriots here in these last couple games.
And obviously we've talked through a number of different areas in this game. Is there any areas you think that we haven't touched on that you think could have a major impact in deciding this game on Sunday?
I don't think too much. I think special teams is going to be something that's very important. Obviously you saw the Patriots dominate against the Broncos last Sunday night on special teams. The Raiders really have to protect the ball, can't have any turnovers on special teams, and they got to prevent their kickoff coverage teams and punt coverage teams. If the Patriots punt, they have to really prevent any big returns. I know we saw Deion Lewis have the kick return for a touchdown last weekend. So the Broncos head coach Vance Joseph said last week they basically just spotted the Patriots 24 points, not directly on special teams, but the Patriots dominated that. And the Raiders, if they want to stand a fighting chance in this game come the fourth quarter, they can't give the Patriots any points on special teams.
Yeah, and this team obviously is at the moment in the hunt for the AFC wildcard spots. You know, it's ridiculous kind of to say at this time of the season that it might be a must-win game, but depending on how other results go this weekend, it could very well be. So the team wants to get back to 500, obviously, get to 5-5, and we've both kind of touched that we think it's going to be a shootout this week. I'm going to get your prediction now as to how you think this one will finish up. Do you think it's going to be a good weekend for the Raiders, or do you think it's one that the Patriots win?
I think Patriots 38, Raiders 31. I do think both teams score in the 30s, but I just don't think the Raiders' defense is anywhere near good enough to do enough to slow down Tom Brady enough to win.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting one. Obviously, you should be following Matt on Twitter at Matt Snideman. Lots of great information, Matt. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was Mike Snyderman off the Mercury News. You can follow him on Twitter, as I mentioned, at Mike Snyderman. That is S-C-H-N-E-I-D-M-A-N. And he'll get you covered with all the news for the Oakland Raiders. And, of course, he'll have some Patriots news sprinkled in as we get ready for this one this week, as, of course, that is the team they are facing. And in just a moment, I'm going to dive into the game and look at who I think could be the star players. If you've seen over the last couple of weeks listening to the show, I think there was one week where I might have had a dud, and I'm just trying to think back through mentally, and I just can't think who that was. There was definitely one week where it didn't work out as well as I was hoping, but my draft star player of the week over the last couple of weeks has really smashed it out of the park. And for those of you who listened to last week's show, as we talked about the Redskins and the Vikings game, I did talk about Adam Thielen, and he had a monster performance this past week. So hopefully if you were listening to that show, you got some information there, and we were able to have some fun in DFS last week with Thielen and get some money on the board. So we'll see who I pick as my star player and in just a little moment. Obviously the season, we are heading into week 11, but it's still a perfect time to get yourself a RotoViz NFL pass, which as a listener to the podcast, you can get a 30% discount through the RotoViz podcast homepage. That is rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription will give you unlimited access to all our NFL content and tools, and best of all, it helps support the pod. Again, be sure to get that 30% discount now for an NFL pass at rotoviz.com/podcast. And for those of you who haven't already joined in and got that, you know, the 30% off, it is definitely worthwhile doing it. It's worth doing it without any cost off, without any savings. You can also get yourself that 3-day free trial by signing up on rotoviz.com. But you can sign up there and get that 30% off for listening to the podcast, the tools, the content. It is really, they're just hitting it out of the park at the moment, all the great writers over there at Rotoviz. So I definitely recommend getting signed up today as we get ready to enter week 11. Entering week 11, I'm talking here about the Patriots, I'm talking about the Raiders. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been looking for your suggestions on Twitter, what app to use on RotoViz to look at the prospects and of the players in this game, and of course, getting your suggestions on what players that you want to hear me talk a little bit about. So a quick shout out to Bobcat Truther, who wanted to hear about Rex Burkhead and Amari Cooper. And then we had Sebastian Owl, who wanted to hear about Sexy Rexy, as he calls him. So we'll be talking, obviously, about Rex Burkhead in just a little moment, and we'll be talking about Amari Cooper. But any suggestions you want about what you want to hear on the show on a weekly basis, you can hit me up on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Next week, we'll be previewing the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks. I'll be talking with Grant Cohen about the 49ers. Now, maybe we'll be seeing Jimmy Garoppolo after the 49ers bye, but whether it's about the 49ers you want to hear me discuss some players, or whether it's about the Seahawks, do hit me up. I will be recording next week's show a little earlier in the week, because of course we have Thanksgiving next week, so get on me at Twitter and let me know what you want to hear in that game. But back to today's game, we're obviously talking Patriots, we're talking Oakland Raiders. Let's look through some of the players, and first up, I'm going to start to talk about the Raiders. We obviously had a big game before the bye, as I mentioned, Marshawn Lynch. He played a season high snap rate in week 9, coming off that week 8 suspension, and played pretty much had his best game of the season. It was his highest fantasy output. He has now been basically rested up in 2 of the last 3 weeks, and now obviously Raiders face New England, as I mentioned, in Mexico. But the one problem that's going to be hard here is game script. I'm expecting, like we talked there with Matt, that the Patriots are going to put up a lot of points, and that kind of rules out Marshawn Lynch if they're very far behind. Marshawn Lynch is more of a player who has success when the team are ahead or it's a very close game. Maybe the game will stay close, but I think it's going to be a week where it's hard to have a lot of confidence in the workload that Marshawn Lynch is going to receive. Then when you're talking about the other running backs for the Oakland Raiders, we're looking here obviously at Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. Over the last couple of games, we've seen Richard, you know, be sprinkled in with some rushing attempts, but he hasn't got much work in the passing game. Then DeAndre Washington has got a lot more catches on the season so far. He has 23 receptions, so there's more of an opportunity there for them if he's in comeback mode. Though the players I'm really interested in this week are the wide receivers and the tight end, and of course when you're looking at those as well, you're looking at Derek Carr. I think Carr, who has had his struggles this season, hasn't been as good as he was this time last year. I definitely think that you can start him this week with confidence against this Patriots defense. We remember how they started the season. They were struggling to start the year, and I think as we move forward into the season, that might come up again. We'll see what happens this week. I think it's going to be an opportunity for, particularly if they're playing from behind, for this Raiders team, this Raiders offense rather, to put up points on the board. The one I am concerned about is Amari Cooper. He has continued to be a little bit, I was saying he was better than he has been through the first 5 weeks of the season, but he still has been inefficient in his last 2 games. Obviously in week 7 he had a monster game against the Kansas City Chiefs. He has had his issues over the last couple of weeks. I think that when we're looking at Amari Cooper, he's a player, there is going to be options there, there's going to be points there, but this week it's going to be tough. I think the Patriots will look to take him away a little bit more from a defensive schematic point of view, and I think then there's an opportunity for that there to help Michael Crabtree. But both wide receivers have the opportunity this week, and it's likely that if you have Amari Cooper and you draft him in the first round, he is probably still going to be at this point of the season one of the top 2 wide receivers on your roster, so you're probably going to have to start him because it is a very, very positive matchup for him. The problem is that he isn't catching a lot of balls 20 yards plus downfield, and that's something that we'd like to see from him to get those points on the board. So there is the opportunity for jaw-dropping kind of outlet here from Amari Cooper and for Crabtree, but with both of those, they aren't my preferred options this week when I'm looking at the Oakland Raiders' pass-catching options. But I would start both of those with pretty much confidence this week. I think they'll both finish up, you know, wide receiver, high wide receiver trees, kind of low range wide receiver twos. I'd confidently be putting them into my lineups this week. And I think if you have them, that is what you have to do. But the player that I'm very interested in putting in my lineup this week is Jared Cook. He's seen an increase in target share over the last couple of weeks. He had 9 targets in his last game in week 9. prior to that there, 5 targets, then 7 targets. He has had only one game this season with less than 5 targets, so there's a safe floor there. And I think as well, with him becoming a favoured target of Derek Carr, there is an opportunity for him to have a nice spiked weekend if he can get himself into the end zone, which he has done a couple of times over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I think we'll see a big week. And I think at his current value, you know, in daily fantasy, or whether it's just as a streaming option or a starting option rather, even in your fantasy season long league, I think he's definitely worth an option. I've him projected this week for 4 receptions for 49 yards, and I think he is you know, over a 50% chance of a touchdown in this one. I think even playing from behind, I think my prediction is of a very similar score of a 35-28 result in favor of the New England Patriots. And you know, so we're both me, myself and Matt are pretty much projecting that it's going to be an over 60-point game, and with that there'll be opportunities for touchdowns. And I think Jared Cook as my option here for the Oakland Raiders will be my preferred option at getting that touchdown for them this week. However, moving on to the Patriots, and obviously we know with Rob Gronkowski, you start him with full confidence, there's no doubt about that. And I didn't touch on it when I talked about the injury report for the Patriots. Chris Hogan is not traveled with the team to Colorado, as Matt mentioned there, for that high altitude training camp, so it is very much expected that he's not going to be part of the plans this week. I haven't factored him into my rankings this week at all. I think he's going to miss out again with that shoulder injury. So looking then, you obviously have Tom Brady. We know you know, Matt called him the greatest of all time, and I think it's you know, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan, and I love myself some Aaron Rodgers, but Rodgers just doesn't have the hardware to back it up that Brady has over his career. So you know, I think there's absolutely no doubt arguing that. I think at this stage we have to give him props, greatest of all time. And I mentioned Father Time is undefeated, but at the moment Tom Brady's still kicking his ass as well. So we'll see what happens here this week, and I think he's going to light up this Oakland Raiders team. Brady, get him in your lineup. So there's no doubt about that. You're not coming here to hear me tell you that. The players that you might be interested in hearing are, you know, Rob Gronkowski, you don't need to hear that either. Put him in your lineup, is as simple as that. When you're looking at somebody then in the backfield, that can be a harder one to decipher, and we're looking here at Deion Lewis. Over the last couple of weeks, it's had a nice workload here for the New England Patriots, and Rex Burkhead coming back off his injury has been sprinkled in. Obviously, we know in the offseason this year, we had Rex Burkhead come in as a free agent from the Bengals, and we also had Mike Gillisley come in as a free agent from the Buffalo Bills. And after that happened, then Burkhead kind of had a couple of injuries throughout the preseason, got injured early in the season again after having a few positive big plays. He had a touchdown catch against the New Orleans Saints early in the season, but he's been kind of banged up with injuries. But Gillisley came in, had the big couple of games to start the season, but has slowed down, was a healthy scratch this past week. So really and truly, you can put Gillisley out of your mind at least for the next couple of weeks unless injuries come into play. So you have James White, Deion Lewis, and of course Rex Burkhead, as I mentioned. James White, I think, still is a safe floor in PPR leagues. If you're playing in standard leagues, I'm probably not too concerned. I think the touchdown upside is a little bit lower for White, and the players I'm interested in this week and starting, particularly in DFS, is Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead. So we look at Deion Lewis, likely to get the majority of the carries on the ground, and his carries have gone up considerably over the last 4 weeks. So when we look at him, you know, I'm looking here now on the GLSP for Deion Lewis. Coming up here in front of me, it's very, very low in terms of his low projection. His median then is 3.2, and then his high is coming in for PPR at 10.4. So low all around. I think in this game, there's no way I can't see him hitting close to that high margin. I think the high margin this week is coming up very, very low for him. But out of the two running backs, the one that I want to own this week is Rex Burkhead. He's just somebody who's, I've always liked Rex, you know, over the last 2 or 3 years. I've been acquiring him in dynasty leagues, and when it didn't work out for him at the start of the season, I thought, oh, well, I had got that one wrong. But he's coming back in, he's getting his opportunity, and I think this week we're going to see a healthy dose of Rex Burkhead. Looking at his projections in this one, straight away a higher floor for him in PPR. His floor is coming up here at 8.6, his median is 11.9, and the high is 20. So the floor and the median very, very close, but then if he can get a touchdown, that really spikes it in to that high one in the GLSP app. Looking through him as well, he's that, you know, if you're looking for what is going for him here, the Patriots are a 7.5 point favorite. There is a high total in this. The team implied total is very high. He's a pass catching back. He's an increased market in the shares of carries and targets over the last couple of weeks. He's definitely mispriced, in my opinion, on DraftKings. He's 3,600, and he'll be in pretty much all my lineups this week. So looking at Rex Burkhead, the snap count, as I mentioned, has increased in each of the last three games. He's gone from 17 all the way to playing more than half the snaps for the Patriots last week against the Broncos, and the Patriots, as I mentioned, touchdown favorites on the road with a 29 point implied team total. So 29 points to go around. Let's hope Rex Burkhead gets into the end zone in this one and has a very, very nice game. He is becoming one of Brady's, you know, most trusted targets, and they've also been using him in the slot a couple of times, and that's where he scored from in week 10 against the Broncos. So he's getting some wide receiver snaps, putting that there in there with those running back snaps. You have to love the opportunity that is there. So the Raiders defense ranks 29th against running backs in terms of receiving yards allowed, and the reason that Burkhead is so underpriced this week, as I mentioned, is that prior to that Sunday night primetime game against the Broncos, the prices had already been set for the week 11 pricing structure for DraftKings in particular. So, you're getting the better price, you're getting the opportunity, you just need to get him in your lineup. And that's why, as well, he is my draft play of the week. And I mentioned last week Thielen was my play of the week, so I hope you used him on draft and helped yourself out. So this week you should be using Rex Burkhead. If you haven't tried out draft yet, come and join today. You can download the app anytime. Just search draft in your app store, and you can also play online at playdraft.com. The online version is my preferred option just because I spend so much time sitting in front of my laptop. So whichever way you want, and for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. All you have to do while signing up is use our code RVRadio. So you play for real money for free in your first attempt. RVRadio is that code. And of course, you've probably heard it on this show. You've probably heard it on all our other RVRadio shows about draft. Fantastic format. No salary caps, playing a real life snake draft, just like what you do with your friends in a season long league. And it's just a fast draft, lasts kind of 5 to 10 minutes. You get everything set up. There's no trades, no waiver wire. Just set that best lineup, and then, of course, you go, and your best ball format comes into play. Whoever scores the most points starts in your lineup, and whoever has the most points at the end of it all wins the cash prize. So drafts start from just $1, so there's pretty much drafts for everyone. It's week 11. Your team mightn't be doing too good at this point in the season. Maybe you're looking for a little bit of added fun if your team is maybe out of the playoff hunt. So let's get it done this week. That code again, RVRadio, and that is playdraft.com, or search draft in the app store. So with that, I mentioned that's Burkhead, and of course then when you look at the wide receivers, Hogan is out this week. That gives an increased target opportunity as well to Mr. Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks can be a boom or bust play from week to week, but there has been a little bit more of a safe floor option getting the PPR catches this season. But you know, you're looking at this defense, I mentioned they're ranked 29th against the pass, and there's a huge opportunity this week for him to have a nice big catch. Really, then, when you're looking around it, it's kind of dart throws, I think, if you're looking at the other wide receivers, if you're being completely honest with yourself. The running backs are where I'm targeting. I mentioned Rex Burkhead. Feel free to go with Deion Lewis, but go with James White. I think all the three running backs this week could have big weeks. And, of course, you have Gronk. But Gronk is Gronk, and you're going to have to pay for Gronk. He's going to be the most expensive tight end if you're playing DFS. Of course, if you're playing draft, you can take him early in the first round. And then if you're playing in your season long leagues, be happy, you have Gronk, get him in your lineup. So I think the opportunity is there for Cooks. I play him with confidence this week, and that's not something I often say with Brandon Cooks, but I'm going with the running backs, and obviously TB12 as well to spread the ball around. So with all that said, I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I mentioned next week's show is going to be an early edition. Do let me know your suggestions for what you want to hear on the show, whether it be the apps used or whether it be the players discussed. We'll be doing the 49ers and the Seahawks on next week's edition. So until I'm back with that one, this has been the week 11 edition of RotoViz Fantasy Football Beat, brought to you by Draft. My name's Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Have a good one. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Beat on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.